Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CashFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Monday, August 16th, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by iStock Photo, the web's original source for royalty-free stock images, media, and design elements. To help you get creative with your website or blog, check out their special offer at iStockPhoto.com/technews. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Sarlene.
I'm Darren Kitchen.
Behind the board is our excellent substitute producer, Jammer B.
Hi.
How's it going, Jammer B?
Great.
Eric's busy on other assignments. Well, he's bouncy on the
more
ball
at 11
over there. It could be killing you. Tape a 10. This is the show where we kick around the tech news of the day and try to help you get a little bit of a handle on it. Verizon has just completed a real-world field test of fiber optic Fios running at 1 gigabit per second.
Okay, that's killing me. Can I have that now, please?
Yes, please. Yes. One lucky business was used as the test subject for this. They hooked up a 1 gigabit per second line, dedicated line, right to the business, and then opened them up to the local node so that they were headed out over the internet, and they were on the node with everybody else. And the link topped out at 925 megabits per second to the local server and 800 megabits per second to the remote server. So, you know, you round that up. One gigabit per second.
400 miles apart, so it's not like they were just, you know, like right next door or something.
I want to know who this lucky business is. They say one lucky business twice.
Yeah. It's a cupcake factory or something. 2.4 gigabit per second download pipe, so that left out 1.4 gigabits per second for the rest of the folks on the node. Now, the only thing I don't understand about this story is does that mean if it's a 2.4 gigabit per second download pipe, you can only have three people on it?
Well, it sounds like that means you could burst up to 1.2 if everybody else wasn't doing anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure.
So
I'm sure somebody
put more people on the node.
TNT at twit.tv to explain what this means for how many people you can have on the node, but pretty awesome, a real gigabit test.
You could edit HD video over the internet with that.
Yeah.
That's insane.
You could have a SAN over the internet.
I love that idea.
If SANs worked locally, that'd be awesome. they do most of the time.
You know what else isn't working? Supposedly some of the Droid 2 antennas, some of the early models having some issues.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of different blog postings, a lot of comments of folks saying that the signal is fluctuating wildly, dipping from full signal down to nearly none. I saw this on Mobile Crunch, but Engadget's review says that all four of their units showed the endlessly fluctuating bar counts.
A lot of commenters on Mobile Crunch, too. Mobile Crunch originally said, listen, we don't know if this is just a group of people, you know, from a bunch of phones that have just come out that people are playing around with. But a lot of the commenters are like, yep, me too. And they're from all over the country.
Now, you should know that it doesn't matter which way you hold it. Still happens. So it's not your fault.
Yeah, just sitting on the table, the bar is fluctuating. I just went and saw the Droid 2 yesterday, I want to say, and played with it in the Verizon store, put a couple apps on there, and did a benchmark using one of the free benchmark tools, which I love that they let you install apps there in the store. So I ran it side by side with my Droid overclocked to a gigahertz, and other than it was pretty much par for par, except for, you know, it wiped my Droid's, it cleaned the floor with it in the the memory department. But I did not run real bars, and I kind of should have. So Real Signal, that's an app you can get for free on the Android Marketplace to get an actual idea of what your real signal strength is, you know, to see the signal-to-noise ratio for both, you know, your regular CDMA as well as EVDO. And I've actually noticed that, you know, depending on how you hold it, I can actually kind of produce some weird variations in my EVDO signal.
With the holding of it?
Well, if I really try to
crush
like,
it,
mess
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
If I put it in the freezer, it stops working.
Well, no, but the cool thing about the Droid 2 is you don't have to squeeze it. Uh-huh. It'll just wildly fluctuate anyway. So
yeah.
Anyway, that's what we're hearing. We'll let you know if Verizon acknowledges this or talks about putting out a software patch or anything like that. But it does seem to be reported often enough that it's a real problem. We don't know what the percentage of handsets that do this is, although Engadget is saying that all four of their review units did it is kind of a bad sign.
Right.
Also on the rumor front, Motorola Droid Pro, World Edition, and Tablet, all found in the Verizon Wireless system. This according to Boy Genius Report. They reported that Verizon Wireless was gearing up to launch a barrage of Android handsets. And now they can say, because they got some more information out of the wireless system, that they can clarify some of this. Motorola Droid Pro with a 4-inch display, 1.3 gigahertz CPU, and global roaming capability. We'll get the model number A957 and a November launch. Also looks like they're focusing on a more business version of Droid 2 with a World Edition global roaming feature, again, so you can make calls around the world. And that device should launch relatively soon. And there's also a Motorola Android Slab device. Now, they're not sure if this is a tablet or a handset, but the model number is MZ600, and it looks like that should launch with Android 2.2 and also be a World Edition. And so if it's a phone, then you got a lot of global phones here, because if you don't know, the CDMA service that Verizon uses in the United States is used virtually nowhere else in the world. So you have to have a couple other chips in there if you want to get GSM access everywhere else you go.
So we just have to assume that someone from inside Verizon, or who at least is familiar with the model numbers, is like, this is the Pro. The A957 doesn't say Pro on the little,
right,
the little list that I saw in the article, but somebody's.
It's not clear
saying.
From the screenshots Boy Genius put up, but I guess their source is interpreting this for them.
Mm-hmm. Someone close to the case.
I wonder if this Droid Pro is going to be poised to take on kind of like a BlackBerry, you know, be the head for head competition there in the enterprise space.
Well, as you pointed out, though, 4-inch display. No, that means no physical keyboard.
I mean, wishful thinking, but I know it's not going to.
Yeah. It could,
and if it does, that's amazing, and I sign me up now, but I'm not holding my breath.
You're not going to hold your breath till November?
No, not till November. But yeah, that looks like, in fact, this slab that we were just talking about sounds like very much like the what is it, Google Verizon tablet that we were speculating on last week.
Although
so
that's
the one that would
going to have
gingerbread
on it.
Which is the 3.0 version of the Android operating system, supposedly coming around November.
So these are all rumors, though. So even if the rumors conflict, well, that's because they're rumors.
Mm.
All right, folks, don't forget that this show is sponsored by iStock Photo. You may have heard of them. They've been around for 10 years, the original source for high-quality stock images and media. So if you're a designer, an advertiser, entrepreneur, a blogger, and you need some licensed photos, but you'd rather not pay royalties forever on these things, and you want to make sure they're legal, iStock Photo is the place to go. Photographers and designers from all over the world use iStock Photo. You use iStock Photo?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I go over there for Illustrator stuff all the time. If I need some graphics for Hack 5, you know, do a diagram or something, grab myself whatever I want. And it's great because with, you know, the Illustrator files, you can really have a lot of fun with them. You've got the source.
Yeah, that's nice. And you don't have to worry about paying royalties. Once you buy it, you get to use it.
Yep.
They also do videos. Do you ever take advantage of the videos?
Oh, definitely. We've used these in sketches before. Yeah.
Music, sound effects, flash files, 3D renders. You've used some of this stuff too, right?
Yeah. In fact, the music and the sound effect stuff is really helpful because I'm not so good with GarageBand and music licensing. For anybody who's familiar with those kinds of deals, the regular folks just cannot. You can't get a music library deal. It's a lot of money.
I like that the music is a la carte. You don't have to get a CD full of stuff that 90% of it you're not going to use.
It's unusable.
Yeah, it's all that just, you know, for the ones who's
bad stuff out
there. I just go over there. Yeah.
And as far as the photos go, they're really affordable. Millions of web resolution images from as low as $1 an image. They make it easy. iStock Photo has a special offer for our audience. They're giving 15% off bundles of 50 credits or more. Check it out. iStockPhoto.com/technews. However, if your business isn't going well, maybe you can get Congress to legislate that it be added to every phone made.
Tell me more, Tom.
The RIAA and the National Association of Broadcasters have come to an agreement because they've been fighting. They've been fighting each other over royalties. It's funny. We were just talking about royalties. Radio doesn't pay royalties to the performers on music that gets played on the radio. They
just
only
the
pay it to the writers through ASCAP BMI. And the idea is, well, we play the songs on the radio and then people hear them and go buy them.
But this doesn't apply to satellite radio. This is like a loophole because radio's been around so long.
Doesn't apply to web radio either because other agreements have been fixed. So here's the deal. NAB has agreed to work with the RIAA on some sort of royalty scheme for radio if the RIAA would help them push through this bill in Congress to require that all phones made and sold in the United States should have FM radio receivers built into them.
Now, this, my first, okay, I happen to listen to a lot of FM radio. That's how I get my NPR, and when I'm in the car, I listen to a lot of FM radio. But the idea that all of the phones now have to carry an FM signal, and that being something that's good for consumers, I mean, what's going to be good about this for us besides the fact that the phones will be more expensive? I mean, if you happen to want an FM signal, that's fine.
I could imagine that maybe if it was a case of like emergency response, something like that. But really, that's
well, emergency response has moved to text message.
Yeah,
radio has moved to apps and websites.
At first, when I read the headline, I got all excited because I was like, "Oh wow, FM radios and cell phones, that'll be perfect so that I can transmit to my FM receiver in a car." And then I realized that they weren't talking about FM transmitters. They were talking about FM receivers. So I was like, well, why would you want to receive FM?
I had one Nokia candy bar phone that had an FM radio in it, and I used it occasionally. But that was because that phone actually didn't have a music player on it.
Mm.
So that was the only way to listen to music on that phone. This was back in, like, 2003, I think, 2002. So,
I mean, there's a couple little like pirate radio stations in San Francisco that I get through my FM signal. So,
NPR, a lot of people like to listen to NPR.
I listen to it in my car.
You know, so I could see where you might want to have an FM radio.
But the thing is that it's not the people asking for this.
Yeah, right.
None of us are sitting here saying, boy, do we need FM transmitters?
Well, that's why we need to get Congress involved, because obviously the citizens aren't that engaged.
Thank goodness Congress
has
decided what we want.
This is what Congress should be passing laws to do, is to prop up failing businesses. That seems to be their main job. So if they were to pass this, I would commend them in doing what it is they're apparently supposed to do. And I would like to get some laws passed to prop up my business.
Yeah, I applaud them in their buggy whip.
I don't have enough people listening to my podcast. I would like them to make it the law that they have to.
I want a PayPal button going to me to be an app on every phone going forward.
You have to listen
to
one episode of my podcast a month.
Right.
Or you'll be fined by the government.
Because if you don't have that, you have fewer choices.
That's right. I'm just trying to give people choices, because they won't make them for themselves.
No.
Honestly, I'll just take a botnet on my RSS feed.
Yeah.
Thank you, please.
Yeah? So that's what you want?
Can I get that?
Sure. Congress will do anything, apparently. Okay. Yeah. As long as you have some sort of flimsy excuse.
Cool.
New Xbox 360 is hacked to play backup discs. Public release, not yet, but hopefully it's underway. Team Executors has put out a video showing that you can now play burned DVDs in the Xbox 360. Pretty exciting, right?
Yeah, very exciting. I don't think this is one of the recent Library of Congress DMCA exemptions, so this might still be breaking the law.
Well, it's definitely going to violate a warranty. It's up for discussion whether this violates the DMCA or not.
Yeah, it might. I think it's more or less just going to violate a user license agreement. But hooray! That means that you can back up your expensive 360 games and not have to worry about the kids breaking them.
That's right. I could have used this. Because when we just got Beatles Rock Band, we were, all the chords strung across for the guitars and everything. We had just also gotten Sawyer the Dog.
Oh.
And he...
I see where this is going.
They weren't compatible?
He was... Well, he was a nightmare then. We just got him. He was a puppy. He was crazy and he was running around. And he ran, like, clotheslined himself right into one of the chords, yanked the Xbox off while it was on. Beatles Rock Band toast. If I had a backup, would have been fine.
But are you always backing up? Well, when you get a game you bring the game home, do you back it up right away just in case something like this happens?
Well, I don't now because I can't.
But I
might get into that habit.
Right.
Now, definitely. I've heard that.
Because that would be the only reason it would be that helpful for talking about backups, really.
I've heard that it's either Microsoft or some of the other publishers that will actually, if you send in your scratch disc, send you a replacement for a nominal fee. So that might be something to consider as well. But still,
how nominal is nominal?
I have no idea. Probably postage.
Maybe, postage. They would just say,
we'll replace this. I've heard of this before where it's like, oh.
They don't make that very public, though.
No.
All right. Time to take a look at the new Sony PSP ad that is targeting the iPhone. As Ars Technica points out, this is a little odd since the PSP doesn't make calls, at least yet. But they're competing with the iPhone on the gaming platform. Let's just take a look at the commercial, then we can talk about
it. PSP. Check out this sweet game I got.
That ain't built for big boy games. That's built for texting your grandma and calling your girl.
You text your grandma?
Of course I do. And for $9.99, you could be playing this on a PSP. And this. And this.
Those games?
Yeah.
For $9.99.
What's that? Go to a website.
Okay.
This guy just don't understand.
Hello?
$9.99, sucker. Step your game up. Marcus. PSP.
So what I don't understand is how was he talking to him in the first place if he had to call him and talk to him? Like,
oh, there's so many stabby things about this commercial.
Aside from it being obnoxious?
It's very obnoxious, but it's also, first of all, it doesn't say that the guy who calls the kid at first is on an iPhone, but it's supposed to look like an iPhone.
Looks like an iPhone.
And the kid says it's for texting your grandma and calling your girl. Well, that's stupid already. I mean, obviously the iPhone does a lot.
Well, you don't text your grandma?
No, my grandma doesn't really know what a computer is, but that's beside this point. This is kind of unfair already, but then, and then it's like, they show sort of a montage of games. It's like, I mean, yeah, there are a lot of really crappy iPhone games, but those games didn't, they weren't wowing
me. They didn't blow you away.
There's some
older titles in there that they showed.
That, you know, this is... And this is interesting. In the end of all of these commercials now, it's like, you know, you state your name and what cause you're for, what camp you're in. And the fact that the handheld gaming market is like realizing they need to go head to head and start a campaign like this. I'd love to see Apple's response.
I don't think Apple's going to respond. They don't want to dignify this with
the
response.
Of course not.
Their only response would be to is the commercials they've already had out that show their games and show people having fun with them. I think they'll just rest on that, because all this does is say like, hey, if you buy a PSP, you can play some old titles for $9.99.
Well, and then you have to, let's say you have another smartphone device that you need. Then
yeah,
you're
and you still need
two things.
And you still need a phone to text grandma.
So well, it's sort of like Sony is like, oh, we're now in the situation where people just want an all-in-one device, so we have to somehow convince them that the games are cooler this way.
If only they could upgrade the PSP so that you could talk on it sideways. Just saying.
Yeah.
Engage reference.
Oh, yes, the yes, N-Gage.
The N-Gage. No,
hey,
the N-Gage.
You know, the cool thing about the PSP is you don't have to take the battery out to change games.
Nice.
No, I see what you're saying. And
well, obviously, they're pointing...
Let's make this story interesting by stretching it into a conspiracy theory. Maybe this is setting the groundwork for the PSP phone.
Oh. Or maybe they're just drawing the line in the sand and saying, if you're a real gamer, you'll get a real gaming platform.
That I feel like... would have been more compelling than,
yes.
I mean, they were hinting around that.
Right.
They were sort of walking around that.
The graphics at the end kind of seemed like that was driving that home.
Yeah.
But not the kid.
The kid was supposed to be like, I'm a real gamer and you're lame.
Yeah, the kid was a punk.
Yeah, they were both kind of punks.
Yeah.
All right, this next story I really liked, and I know you guys did too. Georgia Tech Research Institute has done a study using some Elcomsoft hacking software to determine just how safe your passwords are given the increasingly powerful GPUs out there. So they have pretty much come to the conclusion that a 7-character password is like not even a speed bump given the power of GPUs.
They said something like woefully inadequate.
Because
inadequate.
Yeah, they can power through so many combinations. They can brute force attack right into whatever you want using off-the-shelf software. They were using the Elcomsoft software in their test. But essentially, if you have a 7-letter password, it doesn't matter if it's not a dictionary word. We're not talking about dictionary text. They can just go through all the permutations that exist for 7 letters quickly, or at least reasonably quickly, with a powerful graphics processor.
So how many characters do you need?
They're saying
15 or more. Or
12.
Well, oh, actually...
They say 12-character combination of upper and lowercase letters, symbols, and digits.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say use 14 or more.
Yeah.
Because on a Windows system, the way that... what they're talking about here is I think they're talking about NTLM. I'm looking at the actual product here that uses the NVIDIA CUDA technology to... It brute forces. They've got stuff for Office files, for OpenOffice, for PGP keys, Adobe stuff. But when you get down to like the, you know, actual operating systems, Windows, I'm pretty sure they're talking about here the NTLM hashes, which is the way that Windows stores your password. And there's this legacy way that it stores your password that's really, really weak, where it takes your entire password, converts it all to uppercase, right? And then, so throw those case things out the window.
Uh-huh.
And then it chops it into 2 7-character pieces and then hashes each of those. So then, since they're just small hashes at that point, only 7 characters each, you brute force both of those, you put them together, you've got the complete password. So that's 14 characters. If your password is 15 characters or more, Windows goes, oh, well, I guess we just can't store your password in the legacy format, and it doesn't even bother.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah.
So the research says it should be a 12-character combination, but what you're saying is a 12-character combination becomes 2 6-character combinations.
Exactly.
So you want to go to 15.
Well, it pads it. It's always 7. But yeah, and we've shown this on Hack 5. If you actually check out episode 419, you'll see a GPU-accelerated password cracking using open-source software, free stuff, rather than the expensive LCOM stuff. But regardless.
Now, is that hash in Windows 7?
I'm pretty sure that they've finally turned that off.
Okay, that's so not Windows 7, you don't have to worry.
But if you're on a legacy system, and when I say legacy, I'm still talking XP.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, there you go, folks. So passwords are going to get harder to remember. You're going to need a password manager.
No, just take your current password and triple it.
Biometric.
Type it in 3 times.
Does that not subject itself to brute force? That's safe? Because I've always thought of that, and I always pause because I'm like, wait a minute, that...
Scientifically, it's...
You would think that would be the first thing that would be...
Scientifically, it's not like, something to do with entropy and everything that's, like, fascinating, but I can't regurgitate at the moment. But suffice it to say, no, not scientifically, but yeah, it's going to be longer.
Well, because you have to go through all those combinations you just went through and double them, so it takes longer. Even okay, I'll buy it. I won't protect you from the Ikitako-created virus that's spreading through Japanese P2P networks. Because that doesn't have to do with passwords. That has to do with going on a P2P network, downloading something, and finding out that it has been infected with a virus infected with the virus Ikitako, which was created by Masato Nakatsuji. And he didn't think he'd be arrested because all it does is replace the files on your hard drive with pictures of squids and octopuses.
That he made himself.
Oh.
However, was arrested in 2008.
They're nice.
For this very thing, but he was using copyrighted images that he had not created, and that's why he thought that this time it would be okay.
Yeah, just tentacled fauna.
Ikitako, by the way, we did a little research before. We thought, well, what's familiar about this? And it's 2 kinds of sushi. Squid and octopus.
That's right. Ika is the squid and taco is the octopus.
That's right.
So it makes sense that the Ika... You should know when you see the name of this virus that you're going to get covered in squid.
Tentacle manga.
It's just
the whole thing is, it's easy to laugh at, but it does destroy every file on your computer if you're not careful.
Well, it doesn't destroy. It depends on how you look at it. I mean, the file's gone and you can't use it anymore, sure. But you have a lovely picture of a manga octopus.
You're right. It's changing the file.
Yeah.
It's not destroying it.
That's something to print out and
you
put on
the refrigerator.
You
might lose your term paper, but you get a squid.
But you've gained a squid. All right, let's move on to the news fuse.
Dun, 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 dun. According to Boy Genius Report, a few codes buried in Apple's iOS 4 allow for 3 devices to skip the activation process in order to work. This follows a pattern in the past where new models of iPhones are prepped for field testing by allowing use without activation. The code then disappears from iOS 4 when new models are announced. Best guess, CDMA iPhone and iPad 2.
Oh, good. Another Verizon iPhone rumor. We haven't had one of those in a day.
Well.
Or two.
Keeping it alive. Rumor mill. Up and running.
More with the Apple. Apple Global Supply Manager Paul Shin Devine has been indicted on 23 counts of money laundering, wire fraud, and accepting kickbacks over $1 million from would-be Apple suppliers in Asia. Devine and Singapore resident Andrew Ang are accused of soliciting payments from the suppliers in exchange for confidential information that would enable the companies to win contracts from Apple.
The devices still worked.
What's the harm? Sure, what's the harm?
The next version of Ubuntu 10.10, a.k.a. Maverick Meerkat, will get multi-touch interface abilities. Hurrah! Canonical programmers assembled multi-touch work from different layers of Linux software, wrote gesture recognition support tools, and added an interface to make it easier for programmers to add multi-touch support to their applications.
If you see a new app to add a Facebook dislike button, avoid it at all costs. The scam tricks users into allowing a rogue application to access their profile page, which then posts spam messages and also attempts to lure people into completing an online survey for which the scammers are paid money. And then actually adds a Firefox plugin, which actually does add a dislike button to Facebook.
At least it does something good.
What? What you wanted, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You just have to deal with a lot of other stuff.
It gives you all you asked for and more.
Dutch hackers have created a Wi-Fi sniffing air drone, much likened to the ones featured or feared to be bought by Google. The wireless aerial surveillance platform was built out of hobby-grade airframe and open-source Arduino autopilot. It's been designed to allow a vehicle to project cyber-offensive or defensive capabilities and visual/electronic surveillance over distance cheaply and with little risk.
You saw one of these at DEF CON?
Sure did, yeah. Check out the Hack 5. It's really good.
Mm-hmm. Finally, Father Luke Strand of Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, recently modified his Volkswagen Beetle to look like a Geek Squad car, but the logo read God Squad, because, you know, he's a priest. And it featured a priest's collar on the hood. Best Buy, who owns Geek Squad, has issued a cease and desist order based on trademark violation. A spokeswoman for Best Buy told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel the company felt bad, but trademark law pretty much forced their hand. Best Buy hopes to find a solution amenable to both parties.
Poor Father Luke.
He was just trying to, you know.
He's the God Squad.
Get with the kids.
Yeah. Hey, you need some help?
Connect with the techies.
Call the God Squad.
Yeah.
It's funny how Best Buy, it's interesting how they said, listen, we're not trying to ruin anybody's great idea here. It's just that if we let him be God Squad, then we open the door up for all sorts of other.
Yeah, there's the whole theory that you have to defend your trademark in order to keep it, or you could lose it.
Because and so then someone can say, "Well, you let God Squad go."
Yeah, exactly. So they are trying. Yes,
we should think
they are trying to avoid hell. They're trying to work it out. Somehow.
We could think of a new name for Father Luke.
Well, I think it's okay if he uses God Squad. He made it look like Geek Squad. He used the same colors and the same pattern, so they're probably gonna say, like, hey, make it look less like
what about
the Geek Squad.
The God Pod.
Ooh, I like that. Oh, Apple would come after them.
Oh, yeah. Shoot.
I think Apple already sells one of those.
Yeah. It's like the Jesus phone.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The God Pod.
Mm. Yeah. I'll keep thinking.
Yeah, right. We'll keep thinking on that, or send your ideas to TNT@twit.tv.
Right.
Meanwhile, let's turn to the calendar.
All right, everybody. Let's put on our birthday hats and celebrate Internet Explorer, who turns 15 today.
Happy birthday, Internet Explorer.
You're going to drive next year.
Oh, that's right.
You know what? I'm actually not going to the birthday party.
Why not?
I just don't feel like we're good enough friends.
Yeah, I never see him anymore.
Yeah, I got the Facebook event notification.
I know Internet Explorer is really young for me to be, but I'm pretty sure he gave me a virus.
Really? Yeah. He's nowhere near as cool as his buddy Mosaic.
Probably a story.
His grandpa Mosaic.
Yes.
All right, next on the calendar, Verizon confirms original Droid will be getting the second Froyo update in the next few weeks. Toshiba's dual-screen Libretto W100 laptop is on sale in America for $1,100. All six Star Wars films, or three if you're of the Darren Kitchen thinking.
Three films and three abominations.
Will be released as Blu-ray boxed set in fall of next year. And Twit, some of us anyway, will be at Dragon Con.
Yep, me and Brian Brushwood are going to be there, and we are planning a Saturday night, September 4th meetup. Details to come. And when all the people are like, when are you going to tell me the details? When they're made. When we have the details, then we will tell you pretty much immediately, but we haven't figured them all out yet. But I'm guessing around 6 o'clock, September 4th, and location is still being determined.
Very exciting.
Twitter. Yeah, we'll put it on the show and on the Twitter and all that stuff.
Tom refuses to dress up, but you still have time to convince him otherwise.
I'm going
to
dress up as some comic book guy that just looks like a normal guy. I should find like a comic book character who just like dresses normal. I'm totally dressed up as Scott, you know?
Get the detective hat from your profile.
Oh, the fedora?
Yeah.
I could wear it.
When's the comic book line coming out, Tom?
And my trench coat. Yeah. All right, fine. That's what I'm going to do.
Done.
I'm going to be myself.
Uh-oh.
A parody of myself. On to the voicemails, 260-TNT show, free call in Butler, Indiana. And Don made use of that, although he's from Wisconsin. He has an observation about people making phone calls versus making texts these days.
Hello, TNT show crew. Don from Wisconsin. Listen, I heard Sarah Lane talking about not liking to take phone calls, and I had a very interesting experience with my 19-year-old daughter last night who felt that it was just horrible that she had to physically call somebody when she would rather text them. I wonder what this means going forward for cellular plans and data plans and to see if maybe texting will supplant the voice minute plans that all the cell phone companies base their plans on. Great show. Thanks for the all the advice, and good luck. Take care.
You're just on the leading edge of the wave of the future. Nobody likes to make calls anymore.
Well, I'm a little older than 19, but I feel her pain.
Not much.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Like last year, 20 years ago.
Just old enough to
like
drink.
That. Yeah, I mean, it's a problem that I have, but I think it's also, there's a higher instance of younger folks who want to make fewer calls because they're just so used to being able to ping their friends and family and whoever,
really
a bunch of other ways.
Yeah, when you just need to say like, hey, meet me over here, or I've arrived. Or, actually picking up the phone, waiting them to answer. Okay, I'm here.
You know, and for me, it's only when I've texted back and forth enough that I'm like, all right, I'm calling you now, you know, because we're obviously having a conversation. So let's just go ahead and do it the old fashioned way.
There is that natural point where texting becomes inefficient because you're trying to convey too much information need that real time.
But at the same time, I kind of feel like it's rude to call someone because you're asking them to like interrupt everything they're doing and give you 100%. They can't multitask at that point.
But if you're texting logistics back and forth more than a couple times, it's like they're clearly that's all they're doing.
But it's also a generational thing. With these kids are growing up with just the with texting as being the primary purpose of the phone, and then it makes calls. It's not inconceivable to see a future where maybe you get a phone that doesn't make calls, or it justifies the idea that Verizon and all of the other carriers coincidentally increase their text messaging rates at the same time. but those text messaging rates, I don't think we're going to see become. You know, it's a kilobyte. It's a kilobyte, right?
Yeah.
But it's not going to get rolled into the unlimited data service because that's
I think it will eventually, but they're going to hold on to that for years and years.
As long as they can.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. We should get the etiquette bitch to weigh in on this. Have you ever seen her podcast?
No.
It's all about etiquette questions. Like we should put this in front of her.
It inappropriate to text?
What's the lines on texting versus calling?
I think having more options is always better. And probably the younger you are, you're just used to utilizing those options and getting better at what is appropriate. Maybe even more than the older folks. But then there are just certain people that are better talkers. I have friends who always call.
Yeah.
They're good at that, and they like it, and it's never inconvenient, and that's just the way that they get things done. I work with, too. It just depends on the person.
Write and mail letters, because I feel like that's the less least intrusive.
Carrier pigeon.
It doesn't pop up on your phone.
Carrier pigeon.
Yeah. Well, the pigeon's kind of rude, because...
Then you know it'll get there.
Then you have to deal with the pigeon.
They send it back.
The bird poop.
Return to sender, yeah.
Right.
Just a face-to-face interaction with the pigeon.
The carbon footprint is really low with a carrier pigeon. So.
Well, it depends on the pigeon, I guess. On to the email, tnt@twit.tv. Hate Bad Design, who is in the chat room right now, says, yes, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange is going to write the odd article for Aftonbladet, which means evening paper in Swedish. He's got a link to the Aftonbladet announcement, but strangely, he points out Google Translate won't translate the page, but you could cut and paste the text and then put it into Google Translate if you don't read Swedish. But really interesting. Julian Assange is a man of mystery, right? He like doesn't like to have his whereabouts known, but he's now going to do a regular, or it sounds like an irregular contribution to the evening paper in Sweden.
Why won't Google Translate the page? If it's just in regular old Swedish?
Because it's WikiLeaks.
Ooh.
It's dangerous.
On this particular translation.
I don't know if there's some
script
problem or something.
Well, will it do it if you just copy and paste the text?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's not in the text. Yeah.
Interesting. All right, the next email from Kyle Hayes in Tokyo. Hey, guys, just wanted to comment about the Android smudge attack you mentioned last week. It would seem the simplest defenses against this attack is to clean your screen well or play games that produce non-password smudges. Also, someone mentioned biometric security, so I thought I'd let you know that some Japanese feature phones include fingerprint scanners or facial recognition for years now.
Ah, so we're just, it's only dirty, filthy people that will get hacked.
Great.
If you're cleanly.
Well, we're screwed.
Cleanliness is next to safetyness.
Mm-hmm. And ease up on the Cheetos.
Yeah, seriously.
Or use chopsticks.
Ah.
To put in your password.
No, to eat your Cheetos.
Oh, to eat your Cheetos.
I was about to say, what conductive chopsticks are you using?
Gloves.
Yeah.
Wear gloves at all times when putting in your password.
Using chopsticks.
Yeah.
Well, Trent from sunny Seattle writes in and says, hey, TNT, I know of a video game solution that could totally help Tom out. I know he wasn't as lucky as me to be born in the early 90s before the internet bubble, But hey, that doesn't mean he shouldn't go out and get himself a copy of Typing of the Dead, the Dreamcast and PC game. And maybe it could be a great experience to see if it actually helps him learn to type over time, like Sega claims. Imagine Tom armed with his keyboard, saving the world, typing zombies into oblivion. He goes to clarify that Typing of the Dead is actually a first-person puzzle action game for the Dreamcast and PC where you get to fight hordes of gruesome zombies by typing words quickly.
I could do that. I could hunt zombies and type and maybe learn to type by accident.
Hmm.
I need to get a ROM and put it in my Sega emulator. Or I don't know if there's a PC version that you can get.
Yeah, well, it says PC,
there.
so
yeah.
Maybe, I mean, if
has
it's
it? I mean, it's definitely not for sale now.
Right, but if it's abandonware, maybe.
Sort of abandoned. Seems yeah. I can't buy it. That yeah. seems abandoned to me.
I don't know. Need to find the right bookstore, I guess.
Yeah, I need a link. But yeah, I would like to try that, actually, because I like zombies and I can't type. So this seems perfect.
Won't you only learn how to type certain words really well?
Wait, you can't type? Sorry, I must have missed this
show. I type with like three fingers.
No. Yeah, but you type fast with three fingers.
I type like 50 words a minute.
Oh.
It's not that fast.
I mean, it's all right.
Yeah.
It
gets me by.
Fast,
I also have to look at the keyboard.
You podcast faster than 50 words a minute, though. So
yeah,
so there we
That's
go.
That's why I'm in this medium and not the writing medium.
You know what's weird? If I look at the keyboard, it actually screws me up when
really?
I'm typing.
Oh yeah,
I'm so used to looking and seeing the words appear that if I look down, it's like I've gotten ahead of myself.
The
and
few
I,
times when
and
I've actually
up.
Been able to look at the screen and type without looking, because I get like freaked out. I'm like, oh my god, it's magic.
I'm merely thinking my name.
Is that like when you're riding the bicycle and you take your hands off?
Yeah,
of
yeah.
And,
you're like, oh, and you don't
why
fall.
Am I not falling over?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Just need to trust it.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody.
Turn off your targeting computer.
Darren, of course, is here every Monday, and you can also find him on the Hack 5.
HAK5.org, O-R-G.
TNT is found on the web at twit.tv/TNT. You can email us, TNT@twit.tv, and call us, 260-TNT-SHOW. Send us links to your videos if you want your face on the show. We take those, too. See you next time.